This episode of Sewing Out Loud is brought to you by the Made to Measure Leggings class from SewHere.com. This online class brings Zeedee right into your sewing room to show you how to measure, draft, and construct a pair of leggings based on your personal measurements. Go to SewHere.com/leggings to find out more and get access to all the videos and course materials immediately. That's SewHere.com/leggings.
Welcome to Sewing Out Loud, the official podcast of Zeedee Sewing Studio. Here are your hosts, Zeedee and Mallory.
Sewing Out Loud. Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm Mallory Donahue.
And I'm Zeedee Donahue.
And this is a technical episode. After a few conversational episodes, we're getting back to a little bit of
Mallory's acting
stuff.
Like we're not going to get on a tangent. Go ahead.
we'll
see.
I can't think of one right now. But anyway, we'll get on one. Yeah, I think we've covered this a bit, maybe in the early days of the podcast, kind of about troubleshooting and stuff. But I wanted to break it down and isolate this issue. Actually, I would say about three issues. So we're going to talk about...
It'll be interesting to see if we agree on this.
Oh. Well, I can't... I think we will. Okay. I mean, I think you taught me everything I know about it, so I don't know if I've got new ideas.
So we're going to talk about tension, right?
Well, hold on. Okay, we're not agreeing about how to start off the podcast. Okay. We're going to talk about sewing machine tension is what we're going to talk about.
Which is thread tension.
I just wanted to make sure people knew we weren't going to talk about sergers today, okay?
Our tension in our upper backs from like leaning over the sewing machine and not giving ourselves breaks.
Not that kind of tension. We are going to talk about...
Or the tension between you and I that makes this podcast...
Amazing.
Oh, I was going to...
You were going to say amazing.
I was going to say...
Controversial.
Okay. Yes.
How I was going to frame this is that your sewing machine has three tension discs or tension areas. Okay. And I wanted to go through them like that. How were you thinking about it?
Well, you know, I guess what I wanted to say is, what is the one most important thing about proper tension?
I'll say it.
Very first.
I'll say it. Thread with your presser foot up.
Right. And I will add, thread correctly with your presser foot up. Because you know all those little like loops or holes or whatever's on your sewing machine? They're called guides.
Right.
Okay. But, you know, people call them eyes, holes, whatever. I don't know.
Sure.
They all must be used, and they must be used in the proper direction.
Right.
Okay. People are like, oh, I just skipped that. You know, it's amazing. But that is the machine is designed like that. Believe me, they would not put it there if you didn't need it, because it would have cost them money to put it there.
I have seen that. I've seen people really be like, I just skip that.
Right.
And I'm like, well. And they'll
especially skip the one in front of the needle, I've noticed. That seems to be very common.
I feel like it's the one above or in front of the needle.
Right.
And then the one right at the start of the threading path is the ones that will get skipped.
So threading correctly
involves
going through all of those guides properly per your sewing machine and per your sewing machine manual, right, with the presser foot up.
Now, let's give this little disclaimer, because there is a machine out there.
Yes.
I think it's a Janome brand.
I think it might be, yes.
Okay, well, it's got this button. It's a button you push before you thread it, and then you don't have to raise your presser foot. But guess what it does?
It opens your tension disc.
It opens your tension disc. Okay.
So what raising your presser foot does is it opens the tension disc.
Well, I want to back up, okay? You're getting too far ahead. So, yeah, we disagree. No, okay. So the three places on your sewing machines. So we're going to talk about those three places, and then we're going to talk about what your stitch looks like.
Okay,
is what I think. So what ZD's talking about, and I think the perfect place to start, is your upper thread tension. Okay, so this is the thread that eventually goes through the eye of the needle. Okay?
Absolutely.
And depending on your machine, you will have the ability to adjust this tension with a knob or with some buttons on your screen, or with like a disc instead of a knob, but like some kind of other adjusty type thingy. You know, there's some way. This is the one I think that's most accessible to adjust, which is why I bring up the knobs.
It's probably the one you should adjust first.
If you adjust.
Here's the problem.
Right.
Don't go adjusting tension till you know that it can look like your problem and it might not be.
Yeah. So that's the first area that we're going to talk about. So ZD was saying a really important part of getting good tension is threading correctly. So the thread guides. Now, you may have a few places. So tension discs. There's a tension disc above your needle in the housing of your machine.
If it's a
more modern machine. Or the tension assembly that has that disc is smack dab on the front of your machine.
And it usually has a little knob that has buttons that are negative and positive.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like two little symbols. And when I say symbols, like clang, clang.
Crash, crash.
Crash, crash. You know, in the symphony, yes. Symbols.
So if those symbols are on the front of your machine, cool, you can see them. If they're inside your machine, you definitely have to follow your threading mm-hmm. path, because that's how you're going to get in there. The threading path is designed so that when you follow it and your tension disc is open from raising your presser right. foot, the thread gets to fall in there, okay?
Right.
So those thread guides are a part of upper tension in myriad ways.
Yes.
Sometimes the thread guides do include kind of a spring on them. And this is something I learned as a younger person. When you think of a spring, a lot of times people think of something like that looks like a slinky. Okay. Like a spiral.
Yeah, a spiral.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only type of spring.
Spring there is, right.
So, I should have like looked up the definition before I, you know, look, you want to look up like the definition of spring, but
I probably say the season before.
Oh, there you go. Oh, you know, okay, here's a little tangent. A friend of mine posted that her daughter asked her how you put thyme in soup, and it took her a while to figure out that she needed to go to the herb garden rather than explain how you put thyme into soup. Anyway, yeah, spring can also refer to something that, like, puts tension on something else. Like, if you have a bobbin case that comes out of your machine, and we'll get to this later, of course, it has a tension spring on it. That's what you're putting your thread through. So, yeah,
okay.
Do you have a definition?
The proper definition after a sudden move or jump or the season after winter
okay.
would be a resilient device,
okay.
which is really good.
Yeah.
Typically, a helical metal coil.
Okay.
H-E-L-I-C-A-L. I don't know what that means exactly.
Hey, I'm going to save that
but
for my New York Times crossword puzzle.
I think it's that coil is the spring look
right.
you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like a helix.
Right. Related like to the word
it's
helix.
It's not a double helix, it's a helix.
Yeah.
Okay. That can be pressed or pulled, but returns to its former shape.
Cool.
When released. So, used chiefly to exert constant tension or absorb movement. So, that's a really good definition
good
for
job,
us.
Good job, dictionary
yeah.
people.
Yeah.
So sometimes you may have a spring incorporated into your thread path, is what I was going to
yes.
say.
Yes. And you don't think it's a spring. You think, what? It's just this little piece of metal and
yeah.
it's not that important. But it has some helial. No.
Well, no.
If it looks like
it resists
spring, right.
and puts constant tension mm-hmm.
or
it kind of
absorbs.
Or it holds the thread in place.
Which would be absorbing.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So it holds that thread in place. Sometimes above the needle, the thread guide above the needle can look so different on so many different
yes.
machines, right? Sometimes it is just like a metal piece
right.
that is a guide, and sometimes it is a spring that you kind of pop
yeah.
the thread into, right?
And you know, sometimes it'll even be like a little disc, like when you
yeah.
In your bobbin winder,
yeah.
you'll have a little disc there.
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. so that's my third
right.
my third spot after the
right.
bobbin case, right? So your upper when people are talking about tension on your sewing
right.
machine, it's a term that gets thrown around really loosely a lot of times, and we want you to have a really good understanding of it, okay?
And the other thing is, you start with a spool of thread.
Mm-hmm.
And that spool of thread must be freely to unwind.
Free to unwind. Yeah, right. There you go. Free yeah, to unwind. Free to unwind.
Free, I was going
to
say freely unwinding, but that sounded really weird. Yeah. Anyway, but you know, how many times have we went over and just turned the spool a certain way or put the spool pin on, you know, put it on the pin and put the...
Or release the someone's spool where the right. thread's gotten wound around it funny.
Or it's hitting in the machine.
Yeah.
You know, in a place it shouldn't be yeah. Or whatever. Or, you know, your thread... What are you, I'm talking, I can't, the guides, the guards.
The thread guides. I mean,
no,
yeah.
No, the thing that holds the spool on.
Spool cap.
Spool cap. Thank
okay,
you.
Sorry.
Gosh, I don't know. I don't wear that one. But a spool cap is important because it allows an even feed.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't, that spool's not jumping around. If your spool's going wing, wing, wing and making noises, something needs to happen.
Yeah, you need to fix that.
Right.
So you're going to follow all these thread guides. We say thread with your presser foot up all the time because that opens the tension disc, lets the thread lay in there, and then the tension disc gets to regulate the feeding of your thread.
So so if you don't thread mm-hmm. with that presser foot up,
yep.
you can get a faux threading, so to speak. You may think it's in there, or it may sort of partially be in there. You could be lucky when you lift your presser foot after you've threaded and it accidentally falls in correctly.
Okay, that was a revelation to me.
Okay, because the people, I've had people say, I've never done that. Well, you know, except I do have trouble sometimes with, you know, nesting on the bottom. Well, yeah, it's because your thread's not.
No, I
whatever.
Never understood how people... said to me, I've never threaded with my presser foot up, and sometimes they would sew just fine.
Yeah.
I was like, how is it even happening that it's functioning? And then you were like, they'll raise their presser foot to put their project under, and sometimes that can fall into place. And I just think that that really explains the intermittent success and failure
right.
of that practice.
Of people saying... And you'll yeah. hear people say, well, my machine, sometimes it has tension and sometimes
yeah.
it doesn't. Well, it's probably operator error. And, you know, if you reteach yourself, a lot of times that goes away. Now, on the machine with the external tension disc, oftentimes that will be the person that says, I never raise my presser foot.
Right.
And I always have good tension. But they can see their disc and they can like
floss it
up in there.
Yep.
So if they're doing that, well, yeah, it is working. Except you're taking the chance of weakening your thread.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's an easier way.
Right.
Now, I will say on like a long arm quilter that you do floss it, you know, you floss it up in there. Because I just know someone's going to email me and say, not on my machine, you know. So.
If your machine manual says something different than this, default to that.
Default to the manual, yes. So that upper tension, I just, that was revelatory to me when we were teaching, because I was always taught thread with your presser foot up. But then I was like, how is this even ever working for someone? I don't understand.
I believe.
And talked to me about that.
I think even on this machine, doesn't it? Isn't there a little guard that closes where you can't thread unless your presser foot's up?
Yeah.
So
there's
some
a
of
guard.
Them you, like, cannot thread.
Well, people still pretend
well,
like
they,
it's threaded.
They are, they'll pretend, yes. That's true, too.
So it's trying so hard to remind people. See, what that guard needs to have on it is some text that says, raise
well,
your presser
what,
foot.
What will
is
happen,
what it needs
though,
to
is
have.
When you turn this machine on because it's computerized,
right.
It will say you are not threaded properly or check your upper thread.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, so there are machines where the presser foot raising and lowering the presser foot is connected to a guard that, like, gets in the way of your take up lever, which is supposed to stop you. But if you don't know why it's there, people are just like, oh, okay, so a piece of plastic there. And I would have done the same thing. I'm not saying that someone is, like, dumb for not knowing that, because I would have just been like, cool, a piece of plastic. It doesn't indicate to you why it's there until someone explains it to
unless
you.
Unless
you read the owner's manual.
Or go to your guide
If
classes,
you read the owner's manual, you just never would have noticed that the piece of plastic was there because you would have raised your presser foot. So anyway, yeah, it's trying so hard to do that. Now, let's talk about what happens when you don't get into this tension disc. So this one piece of the tension puzzle on your machine is the upper tension. And when you don't get in the upper tension, you get thread nesting or birds nesting or thread
loops.
People have called it all sorts of thing on the bottom of your project.
My machine sounds like a combine.
Well, wait, I want to get to that.
Yeah.
Okay. Because the loud noise, okay, the loud noise, I think, isn't only from the no tension disc. It's from missing the take-up lever.
A lot of times that's the take-up lever.
So someone could have threaded with their presser foot up and missed the take-up lever. And I honestly, like, I kind of don't understand. It makes such a loud sound.
I know.
It's like ka-dunk, ka-dunk. And you think it's in the bobbin.
Except I didn't know what a combine sound
like. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that ka-dunk, ka-dunk is from missing the take-up lever. You can be in the tension disc and not the take-up lever is what I want to clarify
right.
there.
That's true.
Okay. So
or
just,
you can be out of both
or
of them.
Or both. You know, one or the other or both. But when people have that bird's nesting underneath, a quite logical conclusion to come to, if you don't know this, is that there's a bobbin tension issue.
They take out their bobbin case and they start fooling with the bobbin tension. Or
right.
they say they don't have a bobbin case. And how do they fool
right.
with the bobbin tension? It is, if the nest is on the bottom, the problem is on the top.
You have unregulated top tension.
So what's happened is the thread is not controlled on the top. So it's going to the bottom
it's
just and just hanging there and hanging there. And more it's going and more it's going. And it, that is an accumulation of the top thread that you're seeing on the bottom. Because the bobbin thread has never got a chance to hold it. And then the top mechanism pull it up nice and you know, taut or...
Now, I don't think I can bring myself to do this, but what would be a really good demonstration is to put two different colors of thread in the machine.
Yes.
And not get through your top tension
right.
disc and then sew. But I can't do it. I cannot do it.
Well, the thing about this is you can hurt your machine.
Yes.
Big time. Like expensive time.
If you keep doing it.
Yes. And, you know, well, I've never done that. And, you know, it's like the, you know, infamous last words.
Right.
Well, that never happened to me. And then, that person's in the shop, you know, asking for help to, you know,
yeah,
fix
so
their machine a week later.
You get the bird's nest on the bottom, but it can morph into more than just an inconvenience.
Right.
Right?
You can mess up your bobbin.
Then you mess up your bobbin tension.
Or you can get
your needle bar out
of time.
Yeah.
You can just, I mean, it can just go on and on. And it can be very expensive.
Yes. So the top tension, you know, how it manifests, what it's going to look like when it's unregulated is that bird's nesting on the bottom. Okay. And but if you can honor all of your thread guides, you can make sure there's nothing in your thread path, thread with your foot up, or however your machine opens the tension discs, however that happens, that's how you're going to get good top tension. Now, we've kind of left out of here, like, all the stuff about new needle, right needle, all that stuff. We've got needle podcasts.
And that,
okay?
That, you know, that you is, know. The proper threading.
Yes.
Right? And that means everything is in the correct position, which means the needle hub is all the way up, and...
Right.
You know, the right surface is facing forward.
All that jazz. So just make sure. So that is top tension. And that's the most complex one.
And again, you're feeding off your spool freely.
Everything out of your thread path. So that's the most complex one. Let's take a break and come back and talk about the tension springs and discs that are related to winding a bobbin and threading the bobbin. Hey, ZD. Wouldn't it be cool if everyone who listened to this podcast could learn how to make perfectly fitting leggings directly from you, the leggings expert?
Well, yes, Mal. That's why we produce the Made to Measure Leggings class. I teach anyone, no matter their age, ability, or gender, to make perfectly fitting leggings based on their measurements. And if someone is feeling particularly generous, they can make leggings for anyone who they can get to stand still long enough to measure.
You, yes, you, can get immediate access to all the videos and course materials in the Made to Measure Leggings class by going to sewhere.com/leggings. This online class allows you to complete the process at your own pace, and you own it forever, so you can rewatch it as many times as you need.
Stop struggling with the leggings that roll down or sag in the wrong places. I'll be your guide as you create leggings that are made especially for you.
No matter what your equipment or skill level, ZD covers everything from measuring, drafting, cutting, and construction on a sewing machine or serger in this class. Go to sewhere.com/leggings and get started today.
Sewing out loud.
Hey y'all, Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, and we're back. I don't think we have to make this a two-part podcast. I think we can get it all in. But then my head is spinning as we go for this. So
who knows?
Let's try to get this one out of the way. I think it's an easy peasy one. And this is the bobbin winding tension spring. So somewhere on your machine, this is another one that I think can vary wildly between machines.
It can be down the side of your machine.
Yeah,
it can
be back, on the top. It's just like, they look different. You are sometimes supposed to go clockwise or counterclockwise or something. But just so you know, between the spool and the bobbin, there should be something that is like putting a little tension on your thread.
That's
there,
right.
Something is
it
doing it.
It might be a guide that you actually go through to thread your machine when you sew.
It can be
it
part
might
of it.
Be an auxiliary type guide.
Yes.
You know, again, there's this thing called owner's manual. If you don't have one, you can probably find one online and you can find it for free.
Yes. So you need to... There is something there, I promise. And I'll be honest that if you did kind of like get this machine and you're like just getting into sewing, that you could miss it. You could be like, I don't know what that little
metal
thing
for. Right.
There's
something on your machine though that you like.
What's this
just
for?
Always don't know what
oh
it is.
Oh my God! What a good podcast prompt.
Yes.
Oh my God,
I mean, I've had people say, "Oh, I don't know what that's for," and I'm like, "You should have been using it all along."
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. Well, you know. Anyway. So there is something, though, on your machine that's going to put tension on the thread between the spool and the bobbin. And this is what gets you a smooth bobbin. So just like the thread nest underneath your project indicates your unregulated top tension, what does it look like when you don't get in the bobbin winding tension disc, Mom?
You have big loops on top.
Bobbin winding.
Oh, you're bobbin winding.
Just getting
ahead of the game. Well, you always have loops. Okay, you have loops.
People call it a hairy bobbin.
Right. But, you know, you don't, when you wind a bobbin, it should be smooth and even.
It should look like a spool of thread.
That's right.
Right?
It should look like it came from a manufacturer.
Yeah. It should look very even.
But you will see tight places, loopy, or just loops. Sometimes you'll see just loops.
I've seen the hairy bobbins. People are like, what the heck happened? And I think that a lot of people actually do figure this one out because I think it's really easy to see, oh, this is wrong. You know, mm-hmm. This is not something that I should put in my machine. This doesn't look like other bobbins I've seen, you know.
Right.
The other thing that can happen, and actually I've seen this happen before, even when you're in your tension disc, is the thread can get underneath the platform.
Yes.
For the bobbin.
I've done that.
Now, yeah, that just happens sometimes if you, I don't know, don't look at it right or
so some machines that are mechanical, you're winding the bobbin generally by pressing on the power foot, right?
Yeah.
So you get your machine power and that's how it works. Don't be speedy Zeedy. Hold back and be moderate Mallory. Okay.
Oh.
So you really shouldn't be winding as fast as you can.
No.
For one reason, it will stretch the thread.
Yeah, it's better to go at a moderate and consistent pace.
That's
right. So don't like slow down and speed up and slow down and speed up.
So then on your computerized machines, you'll have a screen, and oftentimes when you engage the bobbin winder, you will get some sort of screen that says, you know, start, stop, you know, whatever, this is your bobbin winder, you know, it's usually it's usually like an illustration.
Yeah.
But it will also sometimes let you pick the speed. You really shouldn't go to the fastest speed. You really should be sort of in the middle.
Yeah, in fact, I wish that the fastest speed on that was just slower.
Right. I wish they didn't offer it. I'm not sure why it's offered. I'm sure there's a reason.
Now, if someone wants to know why would you want to wind a bobbin slower, if you're winding a specialty thread, sometimes it can be nice
sometimes
to wind it slower.
Sometimes a really thick thread or a stretchy thread, you want to go really slow. And that's really nice, actually.
Yeah. I like the more automatic bobbin winders because I just like the consistency of the speed.
Right.
It can be so, you know, the motor goes to a certain level and it stays there.
Right.
So yeah, the indicator though that you've messed this one up is a hairy bobbin.
Right.
Or, you know, I have seen people get like one loop, maybe it slipped in there and slipped out or something like that.
Yeah, on some of the older machines, you need to disengage the flywheel, which you may refer to as your hand wheel or your flywheel. You need to disengage that so that your needle is not going up and down as your bobbin is being wound.
Right.
Okay. So, again, there is something called an owner's manual, a follow-up sales.
Oh, and
you can go there.
There are machines where you wind the bobbin in the bobbin case.
Yes.
Which.
And they stopped making those.
Yep. You know, though, I thought I heard about another one.
Really?
It is new.
Yeah.
We're not huge fans.
I mean, maybe if they've developed a new one, that's okay. But what happened is it just was not a very fail-safe thing.
Yeah, you have experience with the older models that did not.
It really was not. It did not turn out well. And here's the deal: you still had to stop sewing to wind your bobbin.
Right.
Like it was kind of funny that it was supposed to be considered a convenience, and it really wasn't.
Yeah, so what?
So if you still had thread left on your bobbin, you couldn't thread it. I mean,
hey, everybody.
It really wasn't convenient, okay?
Hey, everybody, no matter how tempted you might be.
Don't wind thread over thread.
You're really not supposed to overwind bobbins. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to have blue thread on there, have just a little left, and then put your yellow thread on there.
Yep.
You will get into trouble when you get to that next color, and it can mess things up, okay? I know it might have worked out for you so far, but just buy some more bobbins.
I was going to say, and I think we've said this in many podcasts, maybe some of them were accessories or whatever, or, you know, hints or whatever, but buy enough bobbins that you have a little army of bobbins and you can just go and get, and, you know, I pre-wind a lot of bobbins. Like if, say I go and I'm getting ready, especially like when I'm repairing something. So I'm going to go and I repair a sheet or something like that, you know, and Mallory's used up all the white bobbins, right?
Yeah.
So I will pull out two bobbins and I will just wind them with white because I know I will come back and use that.
I want to bring this up. There sometimes I just want to tell people this. I don't know if it's super important, but the Destiny that we have here. So what it does have is an independent motor for bobbin winding.
Right.
So I think you can even wind a bobbin on this machine, like while you are sewing or embroidering.
I think this one you can. I think you're right.
So it's totally independent.
Right.
And there's like a separate spool,
right,
holder, all that jazz. So yeah, if you now, I guess I've never been efficient enough to like do that.
I think that if you were embroidering, to me it would be really an easy thing to do. But the other thing is we've always had so many machines.
Yeah.
It didn't matter to us.
But that is a selling feature if you're ever just hearing about
you that. I say tell people that you want gift certificates to your sewing store so that you can go and buy yourself all the bobbins you want.
One last thing. If you have a machine that has a bobbin winder mechanism that's easily engaged,
right,
this happens on some of the Berninas. You can just accidentally hit it with your hand. So then you turn on your machine, and what that little switch does is it switches power from your needle to your bobbin winder,
right,
and it starts to wind right away. So you turn on your machine, it goes,
and you can't really see it, and you don't see the bobbin.
It's going so fast.
It's going so fast, and it's just this little silver peg, and you don't even notice it. And you spend all weekend not sewing.
And you're looking at your needle.
Right. Until you can call, like, your sewing machine store or whatever. And then, you know, the person on the other line says, look up and check
and
see and see if you have engaged your bobbin motor. And everyone will go, oh. Or I had one lady say, well, I was going to lie, but yeah.
No, it's like, well, if someone would actually bring in their machine at that time, I had to be real careful because I was excited to solve their problem, but they were very frustrated. So I couldn't like flip it over with a smile. Right. I had to be like, okay, this is the problem. And then I would tell them this happens to a lot of people. But I'd have to wait to see if they were like going to laugh it off or if they were going to still be angry.
Well, the woman that said that about I was going to lie,
love it,
had went through this whole long story, and she'd had her son in there and her husband in there, you know, and then like her other son came over and she had her daughter-in-law in there. So this was like,
and someone was an engineer, no doubt.
Right. And it was like the dilemma of their weekend, you know, and she calls and we're like, oh, just check. And she goes, oh my gosh, I was going to lie, but yep.
Engaged. You know, I don't really know if that's like a design fail. You know, it's supposed to be so easy.
Right, right. I mean, it's just, you know, you tend to put your hand there when you're, like, threading or whatever.
Or, you know, or your machine's off and you reach past it. And
it didn't happen to everybody.
Yeah, and not everybody. See, I think that's something that happens to people who, like, travel or have to move their machine more often than we do.
Right.
You know, so we aren't, like, moving our machines a whole lot, which is, you know, we're very fortunate to have that. But I feel like it would happen often when someone was like, I took it to my daughter's house, you know, or
And the other
like
thing
that.
I think that this woman had said to me is like, you can tell it's on. You can hear it buzzing, you know. And it's
the screen's, the light's on, you know. Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah, well, that's terrible. That's your bobbin motor running. Yeah.
Okay, so there's that for bobbin winding tension springs. That's second. And then our third tension spot on the machine that I want to talk about is the bobbin case. Oh, Mom, is there a machine without a bobbin case, Mom? CD?
No. No, if you have a bobbin, you have a bobbin case.
ZD's big pet peeve.
So if you don't have a bobbin, then I would assume that you have a chain stitch machine.
There
but
you
if
go.
You have a bobbin, you have a bobbin case. Okay? You probably don't have a rotary bobbin case where you're used to that were on like a treadle machine, say, okay, where you popped out the metal thing and it had a little finger on it and you could hold it in your hand. What we have now, right, in the bobbin cases
are the drop-in bobbin cases.
The drop-in bobbin cases, your hook system is in there. It's just laying horizontal versus vertical.
Yeah.
But it does pop out, and it can get out of position.
Yeah, and, you know, it's so the rotary hook, now there's an oscillating hook, I guess, too, that comes out. So the bobbin case that comes out of the machine, you know, I have heard people say I like the stitch quality of one over the other.
It actually used to be that you did get a better stitch, I believe, honestly, with that rotary hook.
Yes. Front loading.
Yeah. I mean, now, today in today's modern machines, I am not sure you can really tell the difference.
You know, we do have both. And
right.
Like the Destiny here has a drop-in bobbin
right.
and beautiful stitch. You know, beautiful free motion, beautiful embroidery.
Well, and actually, the drop-in bobbin was one of the things that actually enabled home machines to have embroidery. And it took a while to actually, for them to sort of retro go back and have a rotary bobbin.
Okay.
That would do embroidery.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Okay. So with the drop-in bobbin, you get a wider swing that, you know, so like your zigzag can be 7 millimeters.
Yeah.
Right? And not just 3.5 or 4 or whatever. So what the drop-in bobbin allowed was more motion, and it allowed then also those big, huge
decorative stitches
because it allowed multi-motion.
Yeah. So you have these two things. So everybody, you all have bobbin cases, okay? But this is where I think this is what I think happens just so often. This is just a very common experience we hear recounted in the Facebook group and when we owned a sewing store is people get that bird's nest and then they go for the bobbin tension. And so you've got
like now you created another problem.
Two problems. Right. And the first problem's not fixed and all that. So you can adjust your bobbin tension. However, we rarely do that.
If I use a thread where I need a bigger thread or a stretch thread or a decorative thread in my bobbin, I will use a different bobbin case.
Yeah, so Gail commented a while back that she has an Aventura and she didn't realize that one bobbin case was for, you know, sewing and one was for embroidery and one was for bobbin work or something like that. And so, yeah, I think that some of the baby locks come with 3 total bobbin cases. There's one in the machine.
Yes.
2 more. Some of the Berninas will come with an extra bobbin case. Some of the other brands will come with an extra bobbin
case. Or you can purchase one.
You can purchase one. And on those bobbin cases, you will find that there's a little bit of paint over the screw a lot of the times. So that the tech can tell if you've
been screwing with it.
If you've been screwing with the screw, okay? So when you're bobbin...
It really holds the screw in place.
Yeah.
But if you've been screwing with it, then we know.
Then we know. Okay. Right. And it's not that you shouldn't be. It's just that now we know. So, ZD, you were going to say earlier when you got ahead of the game.
Hey, I'm surprised I got this far in the whole conversation.
All right.
Go ahead.
So,
without you beating me over the head, go ahead.
Just ask people who's meaner and you'll get 2 different answers, right? Okay. So,
that's right.
If you are, if you don't have the bobbin tension, I hesitate to say it this way, because why don't people have good tension on their bobbins? Because they didn't thread it right.
That's right.
It's just like the top, right?
That's right.
So I'm backing up.
You have to go through the right and the bobbin spring on the bobbins doesn't look at all like a spring.
That's right. So that's why we started out with
like
that
plates,
definition.
Right?
Yeah, like a plate, like a little metal plate or finger. What I'm doing right now with my hands that no one can see is like kind of waving.
She's
it in
waving
the air,
like the queen.
And what I'm doing is I'm caressing a fake metal bobbin case in the air. Okay, this is what I'm doing. And so if you have a bobbin case that comes out of your machine, you need to get the thread in there.
Right.
And then as you draw the thread out, you will feel some resistance. If you have
called tension.
Is it called tension? Okay. We should have read the definition for tension,
if
too.
If there's no tension.
And then, you know, I think in the drop-in bobbin, I think it's a little harder for people to realize that they haven't done it right. Okay?
I do, too.
And it's understandable. The tension disc is not visible at all. People might think they don't even have a bobbin case, so they don't even know they have a tension spring down there. But with drop-in bobbins, there's going to be some kind of thread path delineated for you, okay? And so when you have that thread path, what I do, and I'm threading a bobbin right now, is I drop the bobbin in, and there's a nice little picture here on my machine that shows me how it should be coming off.
There's a directional arrow that shows you how the thread should be coming off.
Oh my God, I've heard the weirdest things people say for this. They're like, it should be going over the waterfall. And I'm like, What
which
water?
Way?
Which way? Which waterfall?
So now we're going to talk about the P's and the nines.
Yes, I love this. I just love it. So if you have a top-loading bobbin, like I would say this is
or a drop-in,
top-loading. What else? I don't know. You know,
the one that's you know you can see from the top of your machine.
Then it looks like a P.
So there's the round bobbin, and then when you pull the thread off, it takes the shape of a P.
Whereas when you go to put the bobbin into one of those front-loading bobbin cases and you're like holding that front-loading bobbin case in your hand and you can see it, you know, you can see the opening and you're going to put that in, it's going to look like a 9. Okay? So that's important. But on the drop-in bobbins, you drop that bobbin in there and you have your loose thread in your left hand, let's say. Use your right index finger, whatever finger you want to use, and kind of hold the bobbin in place as you follow the thread path. And then you can pull a little bit and feel the
tension.
And then mine has a little blade. Okay. So I like to tell people if they do have that thread cutter down there in the bobbin, pull a little bit to feel the tension before you cut the thread. Right. So what that thread path is doing is it's directing your thread into the tension disc. And you know, something I don't think we said about the upper thread is we always say to like floss.
Right.
And that's what we're like doing here.
So you've got, you know, you're stabilizing the thread on both sides of whatever mechanism you're going through.
Yes. And so you're flossing through tension discs, even though you can't see them on this drop-in bobbin. Now, I think... Okay, so what happens if you don't have the thread and the tension on the bobbin? What do you get?
Loopy loops on the top.
On the top.
Another thing I'd like to mention about the drop-in bobbin is that many of these machines have a thread cutter in them.
Yeah.
And in the bobbin mechanism, there is a little, it's like a little brush. And we've had people remove those.
So when she, hold on, I want to back up because I like said the blade to cut the thread. Right. But ZD's talking about when you're sewing, then there's a thread
cutter. So this blade is within the, the other blade, the blade Mallory was talking about is on the outside of the machine and it's on the throat plate.
Yeah.
The one I'm talking about is actually in the bobbin mechanism. And we've had people say, well, you know, there was there was this little brush in there. It shouldn't have been there. Well, it should. It actually is a guide for the bobbin thread. Right. And it's part of what allows you to, you know, clip the threads.
Yes, yes.
At the end of
and
sewing.
And it's kind of glued on, so you can pull it off.
It can come off pretty easy, actually.
Yeah, it doesn't take too much effort, but you shouldn't
And
do
we've
that.
Actually had those wear out, where people came in, my machine's not cutting anymore.
It needs to be
replaced.
And
it just got worn out. Yeah. They used their machine so much, and, you know, you have to replace the little bristles.
Yes. And so... the deal here is most of the time the machine comes from the factory. It's calibrated to use like a normal weight sewing thread in top and bob and bottom or bobbin. And it's calibrated to sew on two layers of fabric. Everything's cool. Okay. Everything's fine. And then I think what happens with bobbin tension a lot is either it's not threaded right or the machine gets dirty. The bobbin case gets
dirty. Right. Everything needs to be clean.
And when lint gets in that spring, it can no longer exert the proper tension. On the bobbin cases that you can lift out of the machine, you can run like an index card along that spring, and then you can see the gunk come out, and that's satisfying. And then you also know that you're going to get better tension. So if that thread trash is in there, maybe it's glue.
Well,
from the thread.
It also has to do with the quality of thread you're
that's
using.
That's right.
And this is where, you know, we talk about that in other podcasts. Some thread is basically just lint glued together. So you've got lint and glue, and that winds up in your machine, and it's probably going to cause you problems.
Right. So you know, you can have all sorts of stuff in there. And it's not that it's, you know, there's going to be lint, like sewing makes lint, you know. Cut anything with your scissors or rotary cutter and it will slightly dull it. There's going to be lint in your sewing machine. So cleaning that out makes it so that stuff can't get lodged in your tension spring, okay? So then if you do go to use a specialty thread, like ZD said, it's generally advised that you get a different bobbin case. Because getting back to that baseline tension... where your machine, you know, came from the factory, can be difficult for home sewer to do.
You know, I taught myself to sew as a child, and there wasn't much going on. Like, you had to go to the library, right? And the one thing I learned, I went to take a class. Now, this is really funny because I went to make a class to learn to crochet a rug out of fabric scraps. Okay,
yeah.
My cousin.
And that's back.
My cousin told me we needed to take this class, and I believed her. And we went together, and it was that heart.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about.
Do we still
rug.
Have that? I don't know, man.
That rug was around for like 50 years.
It was around for a long time.
So, and this was a big quilting store, and I was not a quilter. You know, I was a garment. But they also did a lot of what their garments construction was is they did a lot of smocking.
Yeah.
So they did a lot of, you know, like children's construction.
Mm-hmm.
And I heard this one lady talking to this other lady about the quality of thread. That's how you learned about thread.
Uh-huh.
And all I did, I bought like 3 spools of their thread. And I'm trying to think of what it was. It might have been, I don't know. I don't think it was Gutermann. I don't remember. I really don't remember what it was. But I remember taking it home and I laid it down, you know, like next to my sewing machine. And I could visibly
see the difference.
Well, yeah, I think I probably was buying cheap thread.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, or the thread that matched and not thinking about it.
And that's just the thing. You know, we say, hey, look at
this. Well, and this was also polyester thread.
Right.
So I had like.
You maybe had some.
Oh, I had like polyester covered with cotton.
Right.
And all these different combos.
Well, that's the thing is we're like, hey, look in your owner's manual. Well, there's like a lot going on in everyone's life. Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
I had never heard about thread.
Yeah. I had never read about thread.
Right.
Ever.
Right.
And that was basically my teacher. It was other people that I would talk to or I would go to the library.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how I learned to do my thing.
Well, yeah, so that is, those are the areas where you have tension discs on your sewing machine. And that's how, you know, you can adjust things. You know what I wanted to say about the bobbin case is when your technician, if you have a quality technician, they have a special set of weights.
Yeah.
Where they're tying a certain weight thread.
Right.
And a bobbin.
And they calibrate that.
And they calibrate it. They pull on the, is it some kind of, what do you call that? It's like a scale.
Yeah.
A pulley scale thingy.
Yeah. A tension scale, I guess.
I don't know. But they can really.
I don't know what they call it. Yeah.
They're instructed based on the bottle of the machine to like wind a bobbin with such and such weight thread, put it in the bobbin case, and then let the bobbin fall or pull on the thread, and it should take this much
tension
in order to make the thread move. So if you've ever put like your bobbin thread in your bobbin case and held it by the thread and it just falls to your hand,
You don't have any tension.
And then if you hold it up and it doesn't fall to your hand, you may have too much tension.
It might be too tight. Or you might have lint in there.
Yeah.
You know, and here's the thing. Why do you have tension or why do you not have tension? And it may be that you threaded improperly.
Right.
It may be that, you know, it just didn't get in there quite right. It may be that there is lint in there that's holding the tension spring open.
That's
so
what I...
So there's all kinds of stuff.
That's the most common problem I think I troubleshooted at the shop.
And usually you could take like a straight pen and get in there and you'd find a little wad.
I said a business card. Or a post-it.
And that works too.
Yeah,
like a piece of paper.
Piece of paper folded in half, like printer paper folded in half would work quite nicely a lot of the time just to slide it through there. And so anyway, if you do have to adjust your bobbin tension, you always do it in very small increments.
Very small increments. You can get in so much trouble.
Like a little quarter of a turn.
Right.
One way or another. Note it down, you know, so that you know how many quarter turns you've made. But yeah, don't go like, talk about a screw you don't want to lose.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. It is itsy bitsy. The other thing, you have to find your itsy bitsy screwdriver to do it in the first place.
Itsy bitsy.
All right. So those are the 3 places that have tension on your machine. Actually, this episode was a bit inspired by my friend Meg, who was just like, I just need somebody to explain this to me, you know.
And a lot of times I will see in the group someone saying, you know, this machine just acts up all the time and all this, and I just had it worked on, and they said it was perfect. And,
yeah,
you know, they gave me back samples, and they were just fine, and I brought it home. And sometimes you're just not threading properly.
And threading properly means so many things.
Right.
It does. And it can be challenging to learn, especially and if you're not sewing every single day, like not everybody gets to do.
That's right.
You know, so it's understandable. But sometimes if I can learn the reason behind the
right
whatever, it's easier for me that's to remember. True. You know, so I hope that's the case for other people. So ZD, you want to wrap up this episode?
So long and so happy.
Thanks for listening to Sewing Out Loud. For even more expert sewing advice, visit sewhere.com.